Well, happy Father's Day. I think today's a nice time for dads to just reflect on, the blessings of children. I'm excited to have the opportunity to speak today. I just think that it's great with families and, taking the time just to really reflect on the many blessings that we have. And so, I've got three beautiful children, and I'm just very grateful for that. So, again, to all you dads out there, happy Father's Day. So, all right, so here's where we're at. We're in 1 Corinthians, and this is kind of what we've learned so far. There's some problems in the church. There's a lack of unity. There's some division among the members of the church. Paul's writing this letter to them, and basically he's telling them they have some serious immaturity. They're judging others. They're doing idol worship. There's a lot of immorality within the church. And basically the church has written Paul and asked them a bunch of questions. And, in chapter 7 they talk about questions concerning marriage and concerning idols and concerning public worship. And Paul's just kind of addressing each one of these questions. And today he's kind of addressing this idea of spiritual gifts. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. So this morning, maybe many of you, I think it's appropriate that it's Father's Day. Moms, dads, or moms and kids, maybe you did this for your dad this week. So you love dad, right? You're excited for him. And so this week you search out the perfect gift for dad. You just find the right thing. So you go to the mall and you search around and you don't really find it. And so then you go on the internet and think dad might really like that. And so you really search and then you say, well, maybe he'll like something homemade. And so you're really putting some thought into this and you're really excited because now you've got it. You figured out what that perfect gift is for dad. And so you take some time now and you wrap it up and you put the perfect touches on it. And now this morning, you go to give it to dad, and dad sees this beautiful box that you spent all this time with, this perfect gift that you've picked out for him. You know he's going to love it, and you hand it to dad. And dad, with a cheerful grin, says, thanks. And he takes that box, and he goes in, he opens the closet, finds a shelf, and throws it in there and says, I'll open that later. Now, how would your reaction be there if dad did that this morning? Would you, feel a little disappointment? Maybe a little anger, unappreciated. How about dismissed? I just spent all this time finding that perfect gift, the one that's right for dad, and he just put it on a shelf, said, I'll open it later. Well, unfortunately, guys, that's what we do to God and his gifts many times. See, God gives us these gifts, and a lot of times we just dismiss them. We put them on a shelf, and we say, yeah, thanks, God, but I'm going to open that later. And so that's kind of where we're at today. We're going to talk about these spiritual gifts that God gives us. And hopefully we'll find a way to open those gifts and use them for his purpose like he wants us to. So we are in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 through 11. If you want to open your Bibles, you can. I didn't pick out the page. I was going to do that and totally forgot. So anybody have 1 Corinthians 12 in the pews, what page number that is? Shout it out. Come on. 821. That's where we're at. All right. So what Paul's going to continue to do is address areas of dysfunction that have to do with the worship life of the church. So remember, there's some serious divisions in the church right now. There were issues with the personalities and what teachers they were following, the style of worship, how they were worshiping. They were being self-focused rather than Christ-focused, like we learned last week when they were talking about communion. And in particular concerning the spiritual gifts, there's this matter of speaking in tongues, which is, ecstatic speech. It's given. It's a gift given by the Holy Spirit, and it needs to be interpreted for most people to really understand what it is. And for some people in the Church of Corinth, speaking in tongues is like showing up in a Lamborghini or showing up wearing the Hope Diamond. Like, they were flaunting this thing. It's flashy, it's impressive, and it's enviable. And it's causing some serious division within the church. And these matters and others are splintering and fracturing this church community. And there's resentment, there's jealousy, there's arrogance. There's a sense of superiority among the members of the church. And somewhere and somehow, something important is getting lost. And Paul's really going to dig into that. And so that's kind of where we're going to pick up here. We're going to start in the first verse. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. So right away, we see that the Corinthians are asking a question about spirituality or spiritual gifts. They're noticing some things. A lot of these members have some serious spiritual gifts going on that they didn't have before becoming believers. And so there's some serious questions. And the problem Paul's going to gaze into here is this fractured community. The group of people have grown accustomed to identifying themselves by the ways they are distinct or different. And they're considering themselves better than other members of the church. And so Paul's really going to hit on this. And we continue on. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. Now, let's just remember, we just addressed the whole idol issue. Okay, this is a community that has come from worshiping idols. That's who they were before they became believers. And so there's still some serious problems. So they're worshiping speechless idols because they're not real idols. They're not real gods, instead of worshiping the living God who speaks the living word. He continues on here. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So he's kind of giving them a little warning here, saying that no one speaking by the Spirit of God is going to curse Jesus. A house divided cannot stand. So if you're claiming Jesus, you're not going to curse Jesus. In the same way, he's saying no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you walk around in the world today and you ask a non-believer that and tell them that Jesus is Lord, they're not going to say Jesus is Lord unless they have the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the Holy Spirit indwells those that believe. So if you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you have the Holy Spirit. It has indwelt you. And if you have that Spirit, then guess what? You are gifted. God has given you a special gift. Okay? It doesn't say if you have a special gift. You have a special gift because you have the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians 4:7, just in case you're questioning that, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and even to the remote parts of the earth. You will receive power once the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we continue on here in verse 4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. We see a unity and diversity here, which Paul is really going to get to the heart of. One Spirit, many gifts. One Lord, many ways of serving. One God, many activities. We see this one and many. Paul's urging them to recognize what unifies them, not what divides them. And what unifies them is who? God. The one God, the one Spirit, the one Lord of all of us. That's what unifies them, and that's what he wants them to focus on. It's not a self-focus, it's a God-focus. The one God who is the source of all things. So, this brings up the question then. Why is God giving out spiritual gifts anyway? What's the point? I mean, really, that's the question. Okay, we got all these spiritual gifts that God's going to talk about, but really, what is the point? Why is God giving out spiritual gifts? Well, he answers that in verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. This is the key right here. What's the point? What's the point of all these gifts? It's to help each other. The NIV version says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In 1 Corinthians 14:12, it says, so also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gift, seek to abound for the edification of the church, building up the church, helping one another within the church. In 1 Peter, it says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As God's stewards of God's varied gifts. Not only is God one, but the end goal or the focus of what this is one. It's to build his church. It's not our private use or for our personal satisfaction. And see, the Corinthians were missing this. See, they were looking at it saying, hey, I got this spiritual gift. I'm going to show it off. I'm flashy. I'm better than all of you. And they're missing verse 7. What's the point of it? To help each other, to build each other up. That's what all of us that receive gifts, spiritual gifts, are to do with those. Again, it's a others focus. We keep hammering this home that it's not a self focus, it's an others focus. It's a God focus, which turns into an others focus. To help in one purpose, which is to reach people, to grow people, and mature people for Christ. It's the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's supposed to be our purpose. And these spiritual gifts are for us to help us do that. That's what we're supposed to use these for. We're supposed to help use these spiritual gifts to grow his kingdom, not make much of our kingdom. So you might be sitting here saying, well, okay, yeah, I get that, but what are spiritual gifts? What are we talking about? Well, spiritual gifts, and this is a nice little definition, are God-given graces or special abilities given by God, meant for the works of service to benefit and build up the body of Christ. I'm going to say that one more time. Spiritual gifts are God-given graces or special abilities given by God, meant for works of service to benefit and build up the body of Christ. These are graces from God. You can't earn them. You didn't work hard to get them. God has given them to you. They are graces. Okay, that means they're not earned. And it may or may not have anything to do with your natural talents. Okay, when you're a believer, God now grants you certain spiritual gifts. And it's not a matter of what you want to do with them. It's a matter of what he wants you to do with them. Okay, so everybody can look at those spiritual gifts and say, well, I really would like to have that one because I want to do this. That's God is saying, no, this is the gift I gave you. It's special for you. Now you need to use it to further my kingdom. It's not what you want. It's what I want. And the Corinthians all along have been thinking that God's gifts were given to them for status symbols. And they missed the point. They missed the point in verse 7 to help each other, to build each other up. And so Paul's going to elaborate a little bit on some of these spiritual gifts, and I'm going to elaborate even more on some of them. But I'm going to put them in three main categories here, and there's a lot more that I'm probably not going to touch on. But these three main categories of spiritual gifts are these. Ministry gifts, which are, they serve to reveal the plan of God. Usually these are characteristics of some type of calling or full-time ministry. These are certain gifts that he talks about. The manifestation gifts, these are gifts that really reveal God's power. They're kind of supernatural. The Holy Spirit indwells someone and reveals the power of God through these gifts. And then motivational gifts, which really are, they reveal the personality of God. They're gifts that reveal the personality of God and that Christian servant. So I'm going to talk a little bit about these. We're going to keep going here in verse 8, and he's going to mention some of these gifts right off the bat here. So Paul continues and talks about these spiritual gifts. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. And you might go, well, that's a pretty big list, and I don't have any of them. Well, there's a lot of gifts, and I'm going to talk a little bit about them. And you say, well, what if I don't have any of these gifts? Well, and then you say, well, maybe I was skipped on gift-giving day, and I think that you're going to find that there are several gifts here that you may have. So let's talk a little bit about those ministry gifts. Remember, those are served to reveal the plan of God. They're usually characteristics of a full-time calling. And in Ephesians 4:11, he reveals these gifts. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And I thought, as I'm doing research and studying, I came across this and I thought this was pretty neat. So I'm going to give you the five gifts of ministry gifts. The thumb, which is the apostle gift, which is apostle is someone that establishes the church. Now, if you'll notice, your thumb can touch all the fingers. Well, just like an apostle, he can be part of all the ministries within that church. He's the strongest of the thumb, of the fingers, and he really is the church planter. And then you have the prophet. He usually serves as the mouthpiece of God's mouthpiece. He speaks God's word. He's usually the pointer finger because usually points out sin within the church and addresses those things. So the prophet. The evangelist, the middle finger, which is usually the largest and stands out among the crowd. This is someone that pulls people into the church, whether it's through music or theater or the way they preach, whatever it is. They're reaching out to people and they're meant to serve the body of Christ. And again, they're usually stand out among all the crowd. The pastor, the ring finger. Why is it the ring finger? Because he's married to the church. He's the true shepherd, which lays down his life for the church. And he's called to stay, oversee, and nurture and guide the church. That's our pastor. And the teacher, the little pinky finger. It's small because it's able to dig into God's word and dig into the darkness to shed light. So we have the teacher. So there's five little ways, quick ways that you can think of some ministry gifts. And again, these are usually a calling. You're called to do something, and it may be one of these things. And then we're going to go into the manifestation gifts, which is what Paul talked about in verse 8. And these are really the Holy Spirit indwelling, and then there's a power that comes upon you. It shows the power of God. And these are usually some kind of supernatural thing where God has dwelt in you, and hey, before you couldn't speak a language and all of a sudden you could, or before you couldn't heal people and now you lay hands on someone and you can. So it's more of a supernatural, the power of God. You can't explain it. Nothing can explain it except for God had to do it. So the glory is to God. So prophecy is forth-telling. It's the inspired word of God. Its purpose is to confirm the written word and build up the entire body. And sometimes it can talk about future events. In the Old Testament, that's what a prophet was. But in more of our modern day, it's God's speaking God's word and the authority of God. Speaking in tongues. Again, this is one of the big problems in 1 Corinthians church, is these guys were showing this off. This was a showpiece. So they got this grace-given gift, and all of a sudden they could speak in other languages, and they were flaunting it. Well, in reality, if you're speaking in tongues and no one can interpret it, it's not building the body up. And that's what the problem was. It was creating division. So speaking in tongues, again, is supernatural. One time they couldn't speak another language, and now they can. You saw that in the Old Testament a little bit. And then also the interpretation of tongues. So someone speaking in this unforeign language, and all of a sudden now they know what they're saying. That's through the Holy Spirit. Faith is not like a faith in Jesus Christ. This is a faith that in believing so much in faith that miracles can happen, and they do. It's a kind of a supernatural faith. It's a special supernatural faith given by the Spirit to receive miracles or believe God for miracles. I don't know if you've ever met anybody that has that type of faith, but it's pretty extraordinary. And healing is where people lay hands on people and they're healed. It's amazing. I have a friend that has demonstrated that gift, which was edifying to me to witness something like that. And what is going on here? That's weird. But these are things that spiritual gifts are real. Miracles, this supernatural suspension of natural laws, which is an intervention by the Holy Spirit. You saw this a lot in the Old Testament where their disciples were able to perform miracles. Words of knowledge is a knowledge of facts and information that can only be revealed by God for the purpose of truth. And then the words of wisdom is applying that supernatural knowledge. And then discerning spirits, whether it's a good or evil spirit, And again, those are some of the manifestation gifts. And you might still be sitting here saying, well, I don't have any of those either. Well, you probably have some of these. These are the things, these are gifts that serve to reveal the personality of God. And I can look around at a lot of my fellow believers and see a lot of these gifts. So I'm going to talk about these because I think you probably have a lot of these. Ministry or serving or a helps gift. Those with the motivational gift of serving are the hands of the body. They're concerned with meeting needs. They're highly motivated doers that want to help. There are people that are helpers. They're servers. And I know they're just among the leaders of the church. I see these type of gifts in them. Teaching. Those with this gift are the mind of the body. They realize their gift is foundational. They want emphasis on accuracy of words. And they delight in research and validation of the truth. So teachers among us. Prophecy are the eyes of the body. Again, they have insight and foresight and they can see sin within the body. They kind of act like the watchdogs in the church, warning against sin to reveal sin in the church. Giving are the arms. They outreach. They go out to, they really love to give. They truly enjoy reaching out. They're excited for the prospect of blessing others. I know a lot of people that have this gift of giving and, you know, it's extraordinary to see how much they just want to give because they love it. They have this gift. Encouragement. This is one of the motivational gifts of encouragement. They're the mouth of the body. They're kind of like the cheerleaders. They encourage other believers and are motivated to and desire to see people grow and mature in the Lord. They're positive people. They reach out. They want to build people up. Administration or leadership. Those with the motivational gift of leadership are the head of the body. They have the ability to see an overall picture. They're very organized. And they find efficient ways of getting things done. They're task-oriented people. And lastly, mercy and compassion. Those with the motivational gift of mercy are the heart of the body. They easily sense the joy or the distress in others. They have compassion for other members. So these are some common gifts here. And, you know, in the next verses of the second half of Corinthians 12, it talks about the body of Christ, many parts. And you can see how these gifts kind of reflect that within the body of Christ. So you might be sitting here going, what is my spiritual gift? Well, let's keep going in verse 11 here. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person has. Again, remember, God has not gifted you to do what you want to do. He's gifted you to do what He wants to do. And all the gifts come from God. Remember what they are? God-given graces or special abilities given by God meant for the works of service to benefit and build up the body of Christ. So again, you might be sitting here saying, okay, you just listed about 20 different gifts, and there's probably a lot more that I didn't address. And what is my spiritual gift? Well, unless you know the answer, you're never really going to be 100% effective in the service for Christ. You may spend your life doing something for which you were not gifted by God, and so you'll be frustrated and ineffective. So I'm a sports guy. I love sports. So picture these spiritual gifts like this. It's kind of like taking a big offensive lineman and putting him out at wide receiver. He can't run. His hands are bricks. And he's not going to be very effective. Now, you put that same guy at left guard, and he's going to knock people on his butt because that's what he's made to do. He's got the gift for that. In the same way, some people throw up when they ask to speak about the gospel. Well, they don't have the gift of evangelism. But put that same person in charge of financing, and they do a fantastic job, and they're super effective because they have the gift of administration. There are others who can never get up and teach a class, but they know how to lead a small group because they have the gift of pastoring. Still others work behind the scenes caring for the sick, bringing over meals, comforting those in sorrow. These people have the gift of mercy. But don't ask them to speak in public or they'll break out in hives. So it's important to know the answer to the question, what is my spiritual gift? And yes, every one of you that claims Christ has been given a gift. You were not skipped. So if you are a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has gifted you. He has empowered you with a gift. The question really is, have you opened it yet? Have you put it on the shelf and said, I'll get it later? Have you even taken the time to discover what is inside the gift? For some of us, unfortunately, the answer is no. Why? Why haven't we opened the gift? Well, because we're so self-focused on what we can get in this world that we've forgotten what our purpose is. So you may be sitting here going, hey, I'm saved. I believe in Jesus. I'm good to go. I got my free ticket to heaven. I don't have to listen or do anything else. I'm all set. Well, if this is the case, then I doubt that you've opened that spiritual gift, let alone used it. After all, are you making much of God in your life, or are you making much of yourself? God's sitting up there wanting to know, hey, who's benefiting from that gift that I gave you? Have you forgotten that Jesus died for you to save you from your eternal death, and he's now asking you to live for him? That's our purpose. We need to be living for him, and we miss it. Are you missing the point just like the Corinthians? See, if we truly recognize what Jesus has done for us, then we shouldn't our lives look a little different? I mean, if we really understand the debt that Jesus paid for us, shouldn't it look a little different? Shouldn't it be more outward focused than inward? See, I don't believe we truly experience walking in the Spirit unless we take steps to reach others. The discovery of spiritual gifts flows out of this service. You're never going to discover your spiritual gifts until you get out of your comfort zone, until you get out of your own way and start reaching out to others. Whenever you see God gift his people, it's because he has given them a task to perform, not vice versa. God enables us to answer his calling, but we have a part in that. The problem is that we have a generation of Christians who sit, soak, and sour every week waiting for God to reveal their gifts to them before they get busy serving. Again, you will never discover your gift until you get out there and make yourself available. You're going to find where your gifts are and where God has empowered you. But that only happens once you go out and reach others. Start serving, get involved in ministry, and help others. Remember what our purpose is with these spiritual gifts. Can you flick that? A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other, to build each other up. That's what we have these giftings for. So I encourage you today to open that spiritual gift. Please take the time to discover, open, and use your special gift for others and reach others for Christ. And so you might be sitting here saying, well, how do I do that? How do I open this gift? Well, there's a couple things you can do. Pray specifically for God to reveal your gift. Listen to him. Prayer is important. Ask mature Christians around you where you see strengths. You know, it's a lot easier for other people to see those things in you. Look for opportunities to serve. Look for those open doors. And this is the part you have to play. Be obedient when you're called. If you are listening and there's opportunities to serve, be obedient to that call. You're going to find that those spiritual gifts are going to come on you, and you're going to be able to be very effective for Christ. So I challenge you today, open that gift. Open that gift that God has given you, because if you're a believer, you have a gift. The question is whether you're going to use it or not. So I challenge you today to open that. And so normally we would do questions, but I have a special guest for you today. You know, I think it's very appropriate that we're talking about spiritual gifts and serving others and a servant's heart, because that's really what these gifts are supposed to be about. It's about others focused. And so I want to introduce a friend of mine. Her name is Julie Sherman. Come on up here, Julie. And so since this message is about giving gifts to reach others and a servant's heart, I think it's really appropriate that we have a special guest here who's spent some time over in Haiti over the past year. She's been over there 3 times, I believe, and she's heading back there. So I'm going to allow her to share. I've known Julie through CrossFit and only a little bit here and there, but just talking with her and hearing about her story and testimony, I think it's a great encouragement to use these spiritual gifts. Just watching what she's doing, how she's approaching it. You know, I see several spiritual gifts. I see the gift of help, the gift of mercy, the gift of encouragement, and the gift of giving, all just on display. And yes, you can have multiple gifts. She apparently was a good girl and got a bunch of them. So I'm going to turn this over to her. Please give a warm welcome to Julie Sherman.
Clearly, I've never used this before. All right. As he said, I'm Julie. I'll just give you a little bit of information before we start talking about Haiti. I'm 25 years old, and I grew up in Danville, like a half hour away. I did my undergrad at Penn State in hotel restaurant management, and then I also minored in psychology. After that, I went on to grad school through the University of California of Pennsylvania. I got my master's in exercise science and health promotion. And then, honestly, going to Haiti started out as a joke, but we'll get back to that later. First, I want to read a quote. It's Kisses from Katie. It's a book written by an American girl. She was 18 when she went to Africa. Right now, she's about my age and has adopted 14 girls and now feeds hundreds of people in her community, and it just all started following a calling from God. So she said, Jesus wrecked my life, shattered it to pieces, and put it together more beautifully. So just a little bit more information about Haiti. There's about 9.9 million people. Of all those people, about 78% of them live on less than $2 a day. Now, y'all might think that that's like, okay, because everything is cheap in Haiti, right? No, a dozen eggs is over $6. Like a little jar of peanut butter is over $10. So, I could barely survive, and I had like an awesome support system of finances. So you can imagine, you know, people in Haiti have anywhere between like 6 to 10 kids. So it's really, really tough. Half of children under 5 are malnourished. The picture is a 3-year-old little girl who was in the hospital because her parents didn't have money to feed her. She's obviously very sick. 50% of primary school age children are not enrolled in school. Their families just can't afford it. In Haiti, you have to pay for education starting in kindergarten all the way up. They go to 13th grade before they would go to university. And then 38% of the population can't read or write. Honestly, that's a lot lower than I thought it would be. The island I was at, it was called Loganov. I would say it was probably closer to like 50 or 60%. Not many people could read or write. Even the signs of like bank or like the word for money in Creole, like it was all spelled wrong. So here are some pictures just to give you. Most kids never wore shoes. Only to go to school, you had to wear a uniform, which included shoes. But so on the streets, like I said, they just didn't have money for shoes or sometimes clothes. This is an example of a house. Usually between 6 to 10 people would live on one side of that. There's no bathroom. There's no kitchen. They don't have a floor. So when it rains, they're just, soaking wet. People are really sick. And then there's also, this is a store. There's not, like, buildings. There's no grocery stores. There's no hardware stores. So this is actually a pretty nice one that has a lot of products. But you just walk down the dirt road, and, if you need soap or something, like, you would just hope that someone in the village had it. And then this is just another picture of the village. There's just trash everywhere. So it's just a really sad sight. You can see some buildings are made out of concrete. Others are just tin or even tarps. Some people just live under tarps. Okay, so the story began back in September. I was out walking with my best friend. I just had a spinal fusion 3 weeks prior, so I was just trying to get some rehab and, like, start walking again. And she was like, yeah, I'm going to Haiti this weekend, but my dad can't go. He hurt his back. And just joking, I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go. And she's like, really? Let me ask my parents. And I'm like, yeah, right, like, this would never work. Literally 3 days later, I was on a plane to Haiti. So I really feel like it was God's calling. My doctor cleared me. I was exactly 30 days out from my spinal fusion. And he was like, well, I can't tell you you're not allowed to get on a plane. So I went in a back brace. I couldn't bend over. I couldn't lift more than 5 pounds. So the ticket, the airplane ticket, like, transferred to my name. So I just really felt like it was God's calling, like I was supposed to go. So my friend and I worked in an orphanage all week. These are two of the kids, and it just broke my heart. I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but I came back, and I was like, I can't live my normal life anymore. Like, every time I went to Target, I cried. Like, you know, these little kids are never going to see a toy, or, you know, like, they're never going to be able to eat any of this stuff. So then I went back for 2 weeks in December. I went by myself, and I went over Christmas because, you know, we spend time with our families, and we have so much love and so many gifts. And a lot of these kids have families, but they don't see them. Their parents can't afford them, so they just kind of threw them in the orphanage. So I felt like God was saying, you know, like, take your time. Like, I just graduated grad school, so I didn't have a job. And I was like, I want to spend time with people that really need it. My family knows I love them. So I went and spent 2 weeks just playing with the kids, really. I was able to send about 20 boxes of donations for Christmas gifts over. So that was wonderful, too. So not only did we have the gift of love, but we were able to give them Christmas gifts as well. So that was really exciting. And then I also went back at the beginning of March. I went for 3 months. I just felt like God was saying, Julie, like, this is your calling. Like, so little by little, I went for longer each time. The other woman in the photo, her name's Kristen Grubb. She was the person that brought me on the first trip. So I brought her again. She came for a week, and then I stayed for almost 3 months. I lived at the orphanage with all these wonderful children. It was quite a challenge. I was still learning Creole, so, you know, I used a lot of hand motions, like, go brush your teeth or, like, wash your hands. They didn't have a bathroom. I was lucky enough in my little hut, like, I got a bathroom. But I really learned how to rely on God. Like, for the first month, I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't really have access to the internet, so it's not like I could call my mom crying and say, like, I'm homesick or I'm scared. So every night I prayed. Not to scare y'all, but for the first 2 weeks, I didn't have a lock on my door. Like, so I slept with a knife in one hand and my Bible on the other side, and I just prayed, like, God, you called me here, but, you know, please keep me safe so I can do your mission. I just did the normal things, you know, like, made sure they went to school. A lot of them weren't doing well in school, so then we had homework help every day after school. And I took them to the beach and just, like, little things, you know, that, like, your parents would do on Sundays. We went to church together, and I really just tried to give them a positive influence. This is two of the littlest from the orphanage, Kevin's and Beverly. We would just play during the day while the other kids were at school. I just thought that was a cute picture. And then I also wanted to start kind of like an internship program or a job shadowing program. Jobs are really, really, really hard to come by in Haiti. So I took a few of the older ones to a medical clinic. They said they wanted to be doctors. So I was like, what better way than to actually take them there so they could see what they're getting themselves into? So that was really neat. And then we were blessed we had a medical clinic come from the States that not only checked out the kids from the orphanage, but like 60 people like from surrounding neighborhoods came too. So these nurses were wonderful. They checked out every single kid. Some kids had malaria. The one girl had a tumor. Like, and, you know, we just, like, go to the hospital. Like, it takes us, what, like 5 minutes, you know, if we have to go to the ER. But these people hadn't seen doctors in years. So it's just really a blessing from God that, you know, they used their gifts. They came all the way to Haiti to help people, like, and obviously not get paid. Another thing is we started a church on Wednesday nights. On Sundays, you know, the white people went to their church and the Haitians went to their church. I was usually only the white person in the Haitian church. Their church is like 4 hours. So then on Wednesday nights, we made it so that we all came together and worshiped together. And this was actually our first night, and you can see it was pretty successful. You know, we had adults, we had younger children. Voodoo is really popular in Haiti. So that's definitely one of my passions, is to spread, you know, the gospel, spread how much God loves us and, you know, his way is the only way. So that was really neat, being able to worship and, you know, lead people to Christ. This is one of my favorite stories. So Tukey's, the boy on the left, he was selling just like random like keychains and like anything he could make out of trash. He actually made me a church out of trash. And then he would sell them to any like visitors by donation. I think he made about $6 in the 3 months I was there. And I was like, well, what do you want to do with the money? Like, I could take you to the market. You can buy like, you know, a toy or like a kite or something. And he was like, I want to give it to the poor. And I was like, what did you say? And he was like, I want to help the poor. And I was like, okay. So one of my last days in Haiti, I rented a moto, and he went to the market and bought mangoes and bananas and cookies. And then he bought two little bottles of Sprite. And then I was like, well, you know, buddy, you're going to need to buy some cups, too, if you want to share it with multiple people. And I was like, why don't I just buy some bags of water? And I was like, you can pass them out instead and keep the Sprite for yourself. And he goes, no, I want them to be able to have Sprite. Maybe this is their only chance they're ever going to taste soda. And I was like, wow, like, I don't know how many even, like, high schoolers in our area, like, would give their soda away, and they have access to it every day. So I just thought that was really neat. And then he prayed with everyone we came in contact with. So I thought that was so special. He's 14 years old and just, you know, like, giving literally everything he has, like, to other people and sharing the love of Christ. And so I've been to Haiti 3 times, and I'm looking to go back in the fall long term. These are 3 children I have sponsored for this coming school year. My goal is to sponsor 5 children, but I told like a few friends and family members, and I already have 10 kids sponsored for the school year. So God has just been absolutely wonderful. So it's Beverly, Jean, and then Charisma. And then, like I said, we have 7 other children. We're going to pay for their school, their uniforms, and their books. And I'd hope to raise enough money also to, you know, if they have any medical needs, I'd also like to feed them. You can tell they're kind of skinny. Beverly's a little chunky, but the other two are really skinny. And then I also want to create a program for families. There's so many orphanages in Haiti and also other third world countries. But almost all of the children have family. Like, if not parents, they have cousins and aunts and uncles. But they just keep putting them in orphanages because they think that they're going to have a better life. Because, you know, the orphanages will pay for their school and food. So I want to work with the families on teaching them skills. So whether farming, sewing, anything that they can create, like, a little bit of money for themselves. So eventually they can sustain their own family. And then this is one of my favorite Bible verses. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? And I feel like that really ties in with what Royce talked about. God gives us all these gifts, but if we don't use them, then what good is it? Like, you know, like whether it's spiritual or like material gifts, like if you just keep them all for yourselves, we're never going to help other people. And I would be lying if I said, like, I really want to go to Haiti. Like, what I really want to do, some of these people in the room know, like, I want to, like, open a gym. That's been my dream since I was in 7th grade. But I thought it was really neat. I volunteered this past week at a camp in Philadelphia. And this little boy, he's 13 years old, and he gets on stage, and he says, let us pray for people so that we follow God's will. We do what he wants us to do, not what we want to do. And that's just what I keep praying and thinking about. Like, it's not about what I want for my life. Like, I don't believe God called us to be safe and comfortable. Like, you know, he calls us to go to those places, like, you know, that no one else wants to go. Or, you know, a lot of people can't go abroad. So if your special gift is helping children or helping the elderly, like, I really encourage everyone, you know, to pray about it and to think about it. At the end of my life, there's this quote. It kind of says, like, when I stand before God, I hope that I have nothing left, that I used all of his gifts. And actually, on the way home from Haiti on this last trip, my boat almost sank. And everyone is screaming and crying. There's water. There was a crack in the boat. It was really traumatic. But at the same time, like, I just sat there, and my friend held me, and I prayed. And I was just like, God, like, whatever you have for me is your will. I feel like I have more work to do, but at the same time, I was so calm because I've done his will. A lot of my friends are like, oh, I'm going to help people when I have more money, or I'm going to do a missions trip later when I can get off of work. And I kind of, it's cliche, but I live by, well, what if tomorrow never happens? And that day on the boat, like, I just felt so comfortable. Like, I lived God's will, and whatever God wants me to do, I will continue to do. So there's a few ways if anyone has any resources to donate, or also, like I said, ideas for the people to do for work. I don't really know how to sew. Don't tell my mom. I don't know how to farm or, like, greenhouses, like, anything that or even woodwork, anything that we could do to generate revenue. I'm definitely always open to suggestions. Like I said, I'm trying to leave at the end of August to be there for when school starts to, you know, start the program with the children. I think Royce recently posted, the newspaper, the Danville newspaper posted an article yesterday. In it, there's a link if you'd like to hear my story more, or there's more pictures. You could also donate financially. And also my email address is on there. So like I said, if you want to give me suggestions, or if you just want to, you know, tell me about the experiences you've had, if you've went abroad or, you know, done other missionary work, I would love to hear everything. So, all right, thank you very much. Happy Father's Day, everyone.